Well, if you would, please turn your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. This evening, the topic that we'll be considering is the Lord's Supper as a sign and a seal. And I understand that you celebrated the Lord's Supper this morning, and my hope is that as you are reflecting on the sacrament, as you're thinking about how the Lord has blessed you today, even this morning, that spending some time this evening thinking about the meaning of the sacrament will be a benefit and an encouragement to you. We're going to be looking at two different passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 15 through 17, and then 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. And so first, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And then look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to your word, we need your spirit to help us understand it, to help us to believe it, to help us to apply it. So we just pray for your spirit now. We pray for your spirit's power. Help us to understand these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, kids, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that someone has just given you a present. Someone has given you a present of a new Lego set. And I'm pretty sure for some of you that would be a very exciting present to get. But if you were to really enjoy and benefit from a present like this, to benefit from a new Lego set, you would need to understand what Legos are and how to use them. And so, for instance, if you took this new Lego set and you put it up on your shelf and you just looked at it, you looked at the beautiful picture that was on the front of the box, you wouldn't get all the benefit out of this good present. Or if you took your Legos and you used them to stuff a beanbag, you wouldn't get all the benefit from this present. Instead, you have to follow the directions, build up the Legos into whatever it is, into a spaceship or a submarine or whatever, and then you will get to enjoy the gift fully. Well, all of you, in a similar way, if you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received a gift from Jesus. You have received the Lord's Supper from Jesus. But in order for you to fully receive all the benefits of this gift, you need to understand what this supper is and how to use it. And there's a lot of different things that we could consider about the Lord's Supper, and there are a lot of things that you need to think about and to study about the Lord's Supper. Tonight we'll just look at one aspect of that. We'll look at the Lord's Supper as a sign and a seal. Many of you have heard that the Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal. That's something that has been thought about the Lord's Supper for many, many years. It's something that our church confesses. It's part of our confession. In the Westminster Larger Catechism 162, in the question, "What is a sacrament?" The beginning of the answer says, "A sacrament is an holy ordinance instituted by Christ to signify, seal, and exhibit unto those that are within the covenant of grace the benefits of his mediation. So this a sacrament is a holy ordinance that is to signify and seal something. And so the Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal. And if you are to fully understand how to use this supper, then you need to understand that it is a sign and a seal. Now, kids, I realize some of you don't get to participate in the Lord's Supper yet. But I don't want you to think that this is just for your parents. This is a great time for you to think a little bit about what this means. What are your parents doing when you're eating, when they're eating the bread and drinking the cup? And so that you will be ready when it's time for you to participate in this supper as well. Well, as we consider what it means that the Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal, we'll use a very simple outline. First, we'll consider that the Lord's Supper is a sign, and then we'll consider that the Lord's Supper is a seal. And so first, the Lord's Supper is a sign. The Lord's Supper is a sign. Now, what is a sign? A simple definition of a sign, maybe we could say that a sign is an object or an action that points to something else. So when if you're driving down the road, you see a little yellow square on a post, and it has a picture of a curve on it, that picture is pointing you ahead to a curve in the road. It's a sign pointing you to the curve. The sign isn't the curve, but it's pointing you to the curve. Signs are common things in the Bible. There are signs that point to things in the past, signs that point to things in the present, and signs that point to things in the future. Just to give you an example, Joshua chapter 4. The people of Israel, they brought a bunch of rocks out of the Jordan River, and they piled them up. And in Joshua chapter 4, verse 6, this pile of rocks was called a sign. It was a sign to remind the people that how God had cut off the Jordan River and allowed the people to cross over into the land of Canaan on dry ground. And so this pile of rocks was a reminder. It reminded the people for years to come of God's power and provision for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, Moses told the Israelites that God's word was to be a sign to them day by day, reminding them of their present obligation to serve and fear the Lord. And they needed this reminder. They needed a reminder day by day, because without it, the people would have been distracted by all the other sorts of things that come to us day by day that would keep them from fearing the Lord. And then in 2 Kings chapter 20, King Hezekiah, he was given a sign of the shadow moving backwards down the steps. And this sign pointed to the future. It pointed to God healing King Hezekiah of his sickness. And this sign certainly, it helped King Hezekiah to believe that what God had promised, that Hezekiah would recover, that this promise would certainly come to pass. So there are a lot of different signs in the Bible. But the sacraments, especially the sacraments of the Old Covenant and the Old Covenant sacraments, these sacraments are identified to us explicitly as signs. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 11, when God calls Abraham and his house to be circumcised, he calls circumcision a sign of the covenant. It was a sign reminding Abraham's family that they were God's people, that they were in covenant with God. And then in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, when God was instituting the Passover, God says that the blood of the lamb was a sign for them, a sign for the Israelites. This blood reminded them that while the Israelites deserved death like the Egyptians, God's wrath had passed them by. So not every Not every sign in the Bible is a sacrament, but it is right for us to think of sacraments as signs. Well, how then is the Lord's Supper a sign? In the Lord's Supper, there are physical elements. There are the bread and the wine, and these elements point to something else. And the actions that are done with these elements, the giving and the receiving, these point away from themselves to something else. And we see this in the texts that we have considered this evening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, we read, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Now this cup of blessing, the cup holding the wine, is not actually blood, but it points to the blood. The bread is not actually the body of Christ, but it points to the body of Christ. And the eating and the drinking, the giving and the receiving are, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11:24, these are to be done in remembrance of Jesus. In remembrance of Him. And so there, these actions point to Him. So these elements, these actions of the Lord's Supper, they serve as a sign. But if they are a sign, what is it that they point to? Well, the simple answer is that they point to Jesus. They point to Jesus. They point to everything that He has done. Do this in remembrance of me. And so the supper reminds us of Jesus by reminding us of what He has done in the past, in the present, and in the future. It points us to the past by reminding us of what He did for us on the cross. What has Christ done for us? At Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, when Jesus is giving the institution of the Lord's Supper in the gospel, he says that His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, we've read that His body was given for you. And so what Christ has done, what He has done in the past for you, is He died. He died for you. He died because you were sinful and wretched and helpless. He died to cover your sin. He died to take the wrath of God that you deserved on Himself. As 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, by the Lord's Supper we proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And as a sign, this supper keeps us from forgetting. Keeps us from forgetting what we might easily forget, the wonder of the death of Jesus for us. But the Lord's Supper also points us to Christ's current relationship with us. And that's what we see in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, that we have participation in Christ. As we eat the bread and as we drink the cup, we remember that Christ is in us. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again, and by His Spirit, He has indwelled His people. And so He is in us. We are in the vine. He is in us. And we, just like we need food and drink to stay alive, we need Jesus to stay alive. We need Christ to keep us alive, to strengthen us, to motivate us, and to encourage us. And the Lord's Supper is a sign that points us, that helps us to remember this current certain reality. It keeps us from being distracted. It keeps us from forgetting our relationship with Jesus now. And then the Lord's Supper also points to Christ's work in the future. Verse 26 says that you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And so this sacrament, we have to realize this sacrament is a temporary sign. It's a temporary sign. It points us forward to the return of Christ when we will not only be spiritually present with him, but we will be physically present with him. And so every time we come to the Lord's Supper, as we come again and again, month after month, or quarter after quarter, every time that we come is one fewer time that we will celebrate the Lord's Supper in his absence. Maybe as a kid you made one of those paper chains, a chain with each link representing how many days are left until family vacation. And each day you would rip off one link, and the chain would get shorter and shorter and shorter until eventually the long-awaited day would arrive. And each time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are tearing off a link in the chain. We have one fewer time of eating with Christ when he is physically absent, for soon we will be with him fully. And so as a sign, the Lord's Supper, it helps us to believe this. It helps us to believe that Jesus is coming back. And maybe this is the most difficult thing about Jesus for you to believe. You believe what he did on the cross. You believe that he died for you to take away your sins. You believe even that he is indwelling you and empowering you and helping you today. But it's hard to believe that he is coming again. And the Lord's Supper is a sign to help us to believe, to help us remember that he is coming. And so the Lord's Supper is a sign. It's a sign that points to something else. It points us to Christ, the reality of Christ and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. And we need it. We need this sign. We aren't very good at remembering, are we? So we need the Lord's Supper to lift up our minds, to lift up our hearts above the distractions of life to the certain and sure reality of the Lord Jesus. But not only is the Lord's Supper a sign, also, secondly, the Lord's Supper is a seal. The Lord's Supper is a seal. Now, what is a seal? A seal, if we were to give a definition, a seal is something that validates and confirms the genuineness and authenticity of something else. And just like there are a lot of signs in the Bible, there are a lot of seals in the Bible. If you remember the story of Naboth's vineyard, 1 Kings chapter 21, Jezebel was trying to get Naboth killed for King Ahab, and she sent a letter to the elders of the city with the king's seal. So there was a piece of wax on this letter with an imprint of the king's signet ring, and by this seal, it was proven that the letter really was from the king. It came with the king's authority. It was a genuine letter. In the story of Daniel in the lion's den, the king Darius didn't just have the door of the lion's den closed, but he sealed it. He sealed it with his signet ring. And so everyone knew that the king had ordered Daniel to be killed. It was on the authority of the king that this had taken place. And so seals validate. They authenticate. They give credibility. They help people to believe that what is sealed is really genuine. Earlier we saw that sacraments in the Bible are referred to as signs. The Bible also speaks of sacraments, at least of circumcision, as a seal. Romans chapter 4, verse 11, speaking of Abraham, says that Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Abraham's circumcision was a sign. It was a sign pointing to his covenant relationship with God, but it also was a seal. It showed the certainty and the genuineness of the righteousness that he had received from God by faith. Well, how then is the Lord's Supper a seal? The Lord's Supper is a seal because when we participate in it by faith, when we eat and drink the elements, the reality of Christ's benefits for you are authenticated. They are shown to be genuine. We see this sealing aspect of the supper by the words, "for you." In 1 Corinthians chapter 24, it says, "1 Corinthians 11:24. This is my body, which is for you." The Lord's Supper is not just a sign in general that people can be saved in Christ, that people will be saved in general in Christ, but it's a seal of Christ's work for you. And so 1 Corinthians 10:16 can say that the cup of blessing is participation in the blood of Christ. And the bread that we break is participation in the body of Christ. There was a real genuineness shown for us personally as we participate in the Lord's Supper. So as you receive the Lord's Supper in faith, just as surely as you taste the bread and you drink from the cup, just as surely as these elements are given to you, offered to you, Christ is surely yours. He surely gave himself for you. The sacraments serve as a kind of personalized gospel presentation for you, a gospel invitation with your name on it. Now, we live in the United States, and one of the benefits of being in the United States is that any one of us can go to Washington, D.C., and we can sign up for a tour to the White House. And it's pretty much freely available. If you go there and you sign up, you can get a tour of the White House. Now, even though this is freely available to all of you, my guess is that many of you have not been to the White House. But if you received an invitation from the president with your name on it, inviting you to come and to have dinner with him at the White House, my guess is that you would come and visit the White House. And so that's the strength of the sacraments for us. We don't just receive in the sacraments the general gospel presentation to us, but we have the gospel and Jesus offered to us personally, and we can have great faith and great confidence in the truth of the gospel as it is presented and offered to us personally. Now Christ, he didn't have to give us a seal in order for us to believe. We have the gospel, we have the promises of God, and we should believe them by his word. But Christ, he knows that we are weak, he knows that we are soon quick to doubt, and we struggle to believe. And so he has given us the sacraments too, he has given us the Lord's Supper too, so that like Hebrews 6:18 argues, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. And so the Lord's Supper is a seal, and as a seal, it also guarantees something besides itself. It guarantees Christ for us like a sign, past, present, and future. So by your participation in the Lord's Supper in faith, you have proved genuine that Christ's death was for the forgiveness of your sins, that his body was broken for you, that the wrath of God that you deserved was satisfied in the body of Christ. Furthermore, and by the Lord's Supper, you have demonstrated certainly and surely of your present relationship with Christ, that you have died with him, and that now you truly live with him, that you are really in the vine, that you can expect fellowship and strength and help through him. And partaking the Lord's Supper in faith confirms that he will come again. And when he comes again, with the sound of a trumpet and the cry of command, you will rise to meet him in the sky on that last day. And so we are then a recipient of this great and wonderful gift, this sign and seal of everything that we have in the Lord Jesus. As a sign, it reminds us of Christ, of His work for us in the past, His present relationship to us, and of His certain return. As a seal, it confirms these same things to us. It gives us greater certainty, greater security that these things are true. And so it helps us. It helps us in our doubts, and it builds up and strengthens our faith. And as you understand this gift, as you participate in this gift, you will shake free from distractions. You will remember things that you have forgotten. You will have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before you, waiting for that certain and sure day when we will eat and drink with Jesus, pure and blameless before Him, delighting in His glorious presence forever. Let's pray.